This is CBC Radio. Welcome to the wonderful world of Eclectic Circus. Such a really pedestrian title for anything so fine and well-meaning. Eclectic Circus, play on words. Electric Circus, and yet so cleverly conceived. But, there I go, running off at the mouth again about something that needs no defending, really. Certainly no build-up, something that stands sturdily on its own 2 feet, clear eyes fixed steadily on the going that lies ahead in this next hour. Sometimes the going can be a little rough, but somehow or other we, that you and me, and the night and the music, seem to muddle through together, don't we? Right well, as you might say, and begging your lordship's pardon, me as shouldn't, and yet why not put our shoulders to the wheel, noses to the grindstone, and then compare lacerated proboscises with a deep, lying pride? For this is an ephemeral time, a time for dreaming. As a matter of fact, I often walk with my shadow, which may sound rather strange. I sort of even talk to myself. Maybe there are two of us. Maybe there is a dichotomy here. We often walk down the street together. As a matter of fact, me and my... There's an idea. An idea for a song. Me, yeah.
And when it's 12 o'clock, we climb the stairs. We never knock, for nobody's there, just me and my shadow, all alone and feeling blue.
That it was such a pleasure to sing it for you. Me and my shadow, and I want to thank the boys in the string section who came in so beautifully and joined us here in the studio. Dermot and myself here on this midnight, shortly after midnight, morning actually. Morning has dawned. Aurora will soon be treading the sky. No, she came in a chariot, I think, didn't she? Yes, I believe she did come in a chariot. Every musical form, I'd like to say here, that Johannes Brahms took up. I like to be serious, and I certainly am now. This is going to be a serious program, folks, from here in. Because there's so much serious music there. As a matter of fact, on the new radio schedule, there's a lot of serious music. And people actually talk like that around here. You wouldn't believe it, but they talk about serious music. And it should be serious. And if you listen carefully, you'll find all the music that's presented in the CBC is most serious. It's very serious, and little jokes are made. I think they'd best be described as puns. Then they sort of laugh to themselves and go... Yes. But let's get back to serious music, because I, as I always say in this program, you like to listen and learn at the same time. So let's get back to Johannes Brahms, because every musical form that Johannes Brahms took up, symphony, your average chamber music, your concerto, your art song, your choral music, composition for solo piano, he stamped with his own musical personality and voice. And strangely enough, I have always felt that the resulting style appeared, you'll pardon me for saying this and even paraphrasing, but always appeared to me obstinately granitic. This occurs to many listeners at first hearing, although the eventual rewards of familiarity with his music are awesome. One of his outstanding qualities was his always rugged integrity and insistence on the necessity for doing things his own way. Matter of fact, he made up a song once, I Did It My Way by Johannes Brahms. And even if this went against what appeared to be the current of his times, he still would push on, as we do in this program. And perhaps if I stop spouting off the mouth, we could have some music. Let's invite in Earl Wilde. He's going to sit down at the piano and wildly play the study number 2 in E-flat major from 6 grand etudes, after Paganini. Good. Better still. Thanks very much, Earl. That was just wild. Study number 2 in E-flat major by Earl Wilde from 6 grand etudes after Paganini by Franz Liszt. Why would he be after Paganini, I wonder? Anyways, there it was, which, oh dear, now, Herbert von Karajan, the conductor of the and music director, as a matter of fact, of the world-famous Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, was born in Salzburg in 1908. That's a smashing bit of information, isn't it? Well, further we will go. He studied at the Salzburg Mozarteum and Vienna Conservatory, and his first engagement was at Ulm, at ULM, if you're not familiar with that place, a great place, in 1928. They were very cold, though. The winters are horrendous in Ulm, where he conducted appropriately enough for a Salzburg and trained musician, Mozart's Figaro. Now, you see why I started off that way, because there is the line that I think is so revealing. May I do it again? Thank you. Where he conducted appropriately enough for a Salzburg and trained musician, Mozart's Figaro. And perhaps this is the key to the whole man's identification. I'm not quite sure, but he was an amazing man, really, because he started strumming the piano at the age of 3. He must have been a strong kid to strum it. But this I have is actual information. Not playing, but strumming it. Apparently it was a small piano, and he lifted it over his little head and would just play the strings. And then Daddy-O came along. His father, who had encouraged his musical activities, insisted that his son put down the piano and should continue with his philosophical studies at the university in Vienna. But then one Schalk, Joe Schalk, introduced him to conducting, and Carrion made his debut in this capacity at Salzburg at the age of 4. He was a wee one. They had a tiny little podium set up for him, and instead of a regular-sized baton, he used a little white pencil. And he was sent for by the Ulm Opera, and shortly afterwards became very large with both the Ulm Opera and all the musical circles around Ulm. They weren't very large circles. It's a tiny little place, Ulm is, and has about at least 10 months of solid winter. And then there's July, and that's about it. It's an unpleasant place, but it's good training for a kid of that age. And significantly enough, I have chosen, and I have indeed clutched in my horned mandibles, held up over my lobster bib and ships at sea, for there's a cunning calling out there, the Symphony No. 40 in G minor, and it's from a splendid album called A Portrait of Herbert von Karajan. And all I can say is that it's by Mozart, the original first movement, of course, the Symphony No. 40, and it's beautifully conducted by Herbert von Karajan, conducting the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. The choir boys are quiet during this in reverence. Thank you. That was Symphony No. 40 in G minor, just the first movement, composed by Mozart many years ago. And that was played by the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, and I shall certainly shoot off congratulatory telegrams right after this program to every single member of the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. I think they did a splendid job there and deserve to be recognized. On your behalf, I shall certainly do that. And now, ectoplasmically speaking, here's Nat King Cole.
Now I've just found joy. I'm as happy as a baby boy. With another brand new choo-choo toy. When I met my sweet Lorraine, Lorraine, Lorraine. She's got a pair of eyes that are brighter than the summer sky. When you see them, you realize why I love my sweet Lorraine. Now when it's raining, I don't miss the sun, because it's in my baby's smile. And to think that I'm the lucky one that will lead her down the aisle. Each night I pray that no one will steal her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry sweet Lorraine.
That was the late Nat King Cole, and beautifully sung Sweet Lorraine. the producer of the Air Force is in the control room now. I lurched in this late hour and glanced at my musical rundown, which is clutched in Dermot's hands and said, "Who is this John Patchelbel?" "Well, just for your information, Chief, Johann Patchelbel, 1653 to 1706 he lived, and he was the chief organist in various centers. Indeed, in 1677 at Eisenach, in 1688 at Erfurt, which is close to the name of your program, as organist of the Predigtkirche from 1690 to 1692, and then at Stuttgart, and from 1692 to 1695 at the St. Sebaldus Church at Nuremberg. His life then was similar in several aspects to that of J.S. Bach, for whom Pachelbel, according to Bach biographer Spitta, was a spiritual ancestor. Now, we all learn a little something when we listen to this program, don't we? That's a rundown on Johann Pachelbel. And this is played by the Canadian Brass, to my way of thinking, the most brilliant collection that we've ever gotten together in Canada. Frederick Mills trumpet, Ronald Rahm trumpet, Eugene Watts trombone, Graham Page French horn, and Charles Dallenbach tuba. And they are just great. They're very funny men. I mean, by funny, they're witty and clever, and I like them. I dig them. Here they are. Thank you. faultless, impeccable Canadian brass. Charming young men there, a couple of PhDs there, and all bright, bright, nice. As a matter of fact, there I've just been informed by there may be a certain authenticity in it. At this time of night, you can't tell with the producer of the Air Force. He's lurching around in there, breaking furniture, stolen a couple of speakers. Huge speakers you can never smuggle out of the building. These are one under each arm. But apparently the Canadian brass are going to China to stay. No, they're going to China to perform. I understand they're going to be paid off with dried ear of corn apiece, and then they'll come back. It'll be good to see them back, too, and certainly might change the whole future of China, because bringing a sense of humor to China is perhaps something that they need more than anything. Oh, well.
Your delightful host, yes as ever, Alan McPhee. And now, good night and sleep tight. Oh.